Glad you made it important to be in church. We got one of the air conditioners on. Is anybody extra warm? Do we need to turn the second one on? Y'all's air conditioner's on. You're warm? We're turning this one on. Wow, revival just took place. Man. It was your daughter, Miss Kate. That never happens. She said, I failed my child. Go. No, we were turning it on anyway. And Galatians chapter 4, when you get there, stand with me. Galatians chapter number 4. It is good to see Dr. O'Neill here with us this morning. And so glad he's able to make it. I know we had some others that walked in. It's good to see Miss Haley with us as well, Miss Angie. Good to see you. I forgot to mention Marcus and Shane's with us this morning. It's just so good to see everybody in the house of God. Glad you made it a point to be in church. A lot of people are using today just because of the weather, using it as a day just to get out and do some different things, and I'm glad you made it important to be in the house of God. Galatians chapter 4, we are going to spend quite a bit of time going through the book of Galatians, do a quick overview. We are not going to do an in-depth study, but there are some truths I want to help you with this morning, and so I need you to pay attention this morning, understand that I'm not angry or upset with anybody. But we're going to preach some hard truths this morning, and it's things that are needed, okay? And one thing I decided a long time ago, and I know Brother Thoreau said this many times as well, we will never apologize for preaching the truth of the Word of God. And we're always going to stay faithful to what the Word of God says, and the Word of God tells us to preach the whole counsel of God. And so we're not looking to make people upset and mad, but the simple truth is we've got to live according to this book, and if we're not, we need to get right with God. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse number 16. We'll look at our text verse, and then we're going to go through this book and look at six different things this morning here. Galatians 4, look at verse number 16 here. Paul, right in the middle of this book, he makes a statement to them, to the church at Galatia. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm going to preach to you a message entitled this morning, Truths That the Galatians Were Offended By. Truths that the Galatians were offended by. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you again for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us, as your Word says, to receive your Word with meekness and with fear. Help us, Lord, to be ready to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. Lord, I know sometimes we get set in our ways. Sometimes we live in a very opinionated society and we think we've got things figured out. But far too often, Lord, we have opinions that are contrary to the Word of God. And I pray that you'd help us to receive the truths with grace, to be able to apply them in areas that are needed, and help us, Lord, to understand what you expect of us and what you expect of our lives and the way that we live our lives for you. Bless us, use us, teach us. We ask these things. Let me pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Many of you know that today the society that we live in today is a very sick society. It's a very wicked world that we live in. But not only is it a very wicked world and a very sick society, it's a very opinionated society. Meaning that we are all masters of our own opinion. And guess what? We've all got plenty of them. Right? We've all got our fair share of opinions, and we are masters of said opinion, whatever it may be. And many of us will argue till we're blue in the face, and we'll fight even over the opinions that we carry. And sadly, many of us hold opinions higher than we do the very Word of God. That's what we're going to look at this morning here. The Galatians had some opinions about the way that they were living. They had some opinions about their Christianity. They had gotten saved, but they did not transition everything away from the worldly manner to following the ways of God completely. And so they kept their opinions and their traditions, and they applied those into the church. And far too often we've got traditions and opinions that are leading operations in the house of God, rather than letting the Word of God be our deciding factor in every area of our lives. Again, we believe the Word of God is our final authority in all of our faith, in all of our practice. Everything that we do it according to the Word of God. Go back with me to Galatians chapter number 1, and we're going to go through all six chapters and give you just one truth from each chapter that the Galatians were offended by. We may turn into a deeper study one day, but this morning this is what God has for us. here again, the Galatians, Paul had spent quite a bit of time in the area of Macedonia for the Berean church, for the church at Ephesus, or the church at Philippi, the church at Colossae, and here the churches that were there at Galatia. And you'll look at Galatians chapter 1, look at verse number 2, and it says, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." So Paul didn't just start one singular church in the area of Galatia. He started several different churches that were there while he was there on his missionary journey. But notice what he tells them in verse number 6. He says, "I marvel," or "I'm shocked, I'm floored," so to speak. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Anyone who is a God-called man of God cannot preach messages that are just pleasing to men. We cannot try to appease the biggest tither in the church, but rather we've got to preach the whole counsel of God. We've got to preach all the truths that are found in the Word of God. Here, the very first thing that we find that the church of Galatia, the very first thing that they were offended by, and the very first thing that Paul addresses early on in this letter, is they were offended by the gospel. They were offended by the gospel. Now we know according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 verses 1 through 4 that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. That is what we're trying to share with everybody. The gospel is what's going to get people saved. We got to tell them about the death of Christ. We got to tell them about the burial of Christ. But we've got to tell them that Jesus Christ raised from the dead as well. Because if he had just died, it had been like any other prophet. But his resurrection has set him apart from any other prophet and any other religion that is in the world today. We serve a risen Savior today. But here, what had happened in the church is somebody had come into the church after Paul had left, after Paul had trained these disciples, after he had shown them the ways of God, and after he had taught them what the Scripture said, somebody had come into the church and somebody had begun to lead them after another gospel. You know, there's plenty of gospels that are out there today. Why do you think there's over 300 Bibles that are being edited over and over and over again? People are arguing over what the Word of God is. We believe the King James Bible is God's Word for English-speaking people. Amen. This is God's preserved Word. This is God's inspired Word. It never once will contradict itself. It proves itself over and over again. But here, Paul said, "I marvel," or "I'm shocked. I'm floored that you would even consider the other options that are out there." Now, Paul was not a fly-by-night preacher. Paul wasn't just an evangelist that would blow in and blow up and then blow out, right? He wasn't somebody that would just be there for a short period of time, give them something very soft while they were there, and then he would leave and move on to the next place. No, while he was there, he taught them the meat of the Word of God. That was his desire. His desire was not just to see folks get saved, was not just to baptize folks. His desire was to teach God's people what God's Word said. And he did his job doing that. That's why God used him to write 14 books in the New Testament. That's why God used him to start many of the churches of the New Testament that we see. But here he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him." He said, not that you altered what I had taught you. It's because it's not about me and it's not about you. It's not that you changed the doctrines that I've given you. It's that you have been moved away from your walk with God. And when you move away from your walk with God, pretty soon the doctrines will follow. It's always like that. When people begin to have church without the presence of God, then they'll begin to try to draw a crowd outside of the Word of God with all the attractions, with all the amenities, with all the flashing lights, with all the different entertainment value. But they're not having church. They're having a gathering. They're having a social experience. Here, Paul had told them, "I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." He said, you've left everything you were taught. You've left everything that I left there with you. Now, he told Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now, listen, if Paul's going to tell Timothy that, then Paul made it a point in his ministry to do that with everybody that he taught and trained, was to take what he was given and to give it to them so that they could take that very same thing and give it to the next one. Well, somebody along the line had dropped the ball. Somebody in the line of succession had changed the truths that they were given. Now listen, we're not to alter the Word of God. We're not to adjust the Word of God. We're not to amend the Word of God. We're simply to apply it and do what the Word of God says. Here he says, I'm shocked. I marvel that you've gone to another gospel. Then he clarifies in verse number 7. He says, by the way, it's not another. It's not another gospel. Let me tell you exactly what it is. He said, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, listen, there is the way to heaven. There's not multiple ways to heaven. There's not multiple gospels that are out there. And so Paul, he said, I don't want to confuse you to make you believe that there's multiple gospels in order for you to get saved. There is one singular gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he said, this is not another gospel. This is not another way of salvation. But rather, they've perverted everything that they were taught. They've changed. The word pervert means to twist or to bend ever so slightly. And what happens is far too often in our lives, we receive the truths of the Word of God. But then when we go to relay them to somebody else, we'll say to our kids, well, the preacher didn't mean that. Well, that's not exactly what the Word of God said. What do we do? We're bending the truth. We're twisting the Word of God to make it fit our opinions, rather than using Scripture to compare with Scripture. He says he, in verse number 8, he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, listen, if there were an angel that said they were from heaven, if there were somebody that came to you and said they were sent to you from God, and they're preaching to you something other than the Bible, they're a liar. Amen. They're a liar. Because God's not going to give you something contrary to His Word. God's not going to contradict Himself. If He could do that, He would not be God. Right? Then He would be a liar. Therefore, He would not be God. He would be in hell with Satan. Okay? But we know that's not possible. God cannot lie. The Bible tells us that. Verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He said, I'm going to repeat it just so you're aware. If anybody preaches anything to you other than the things that you've been given, other than the doctrines of the Word of God that you've been handed, other than what's found right here in this book, let them be accursed. Have nothing to do with them. Here, he says in verse 10 now, do I persuade men or God? He said, am I trying to convince men of what the Word of God says, or am I trying to convince God of what He said? Listen, God already knows what He said. God already knows. God just needs His men to take and preach the whole counsel of God to God's people so that they can grow. He says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The gospel does not naturally please men. I'll say that again. The gospel does not naturally please men. Gary, wake up. Sit up. The gospel doesn't naturally please men. The gospel is not something that the world is attracted to. But when they begin to see a Christian who lives according to the gospel, they take notice of that. You see, the gospel pleases God. I've learned this truth earlier in life. I know many of you know it as well. You can't live your life trying to please everybody. You're going to go crazy trying. All right? Don't worry, they got pills for all that too. But you can't please everybody. But we as God's children, we ought to be living our lives for the audience of one. I don't live my life to please you. I don't live my life to please everyone around me. I live my life to please God. And every one of us should have that mentality. If I'm going to live my life to please God. I don't care if it hair lips the devil or my mother-in-law. Amen, as Brother Throw used to say. Throw you under the bus, amen. I'm going to make sure we're living our lives to please God. Why? Because in the end, that's all that matters. I'm going to stand before God one day. You're going to stand before God one day. And we're going to give an account to God according to Romans chapter number 14, verse number 12. We're going to give an account to God for how we lived our lives here on earth. And we as preachers, we as men of God, we're going to give a double account on how we handled the Word of God and fed God's people. And I'm more concerned with making sure I stay right with God in that area. Here, the gospel's not going to please everybody. Here, the Word of God may not always be comfortable to digest. Sometimes there are going to be some truths that are going to be some hard pills to swallow. Sometimes there's going to be some truths that are going to be a little bit difficult to apply. Hold your place right here. Go to Revelation. I'll show it to you. Revelation, chapter number 10. Going to make a simple application here to what was given to John. Revelation chapter number 10, look at verse number 1. It says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." By the way, you know why people got scared every time they saw an angel in the Bible? Because they were covered in a flame of fire and it's scary. Just saying. Verse 2. "And he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth." So here he has a book in his hand. Then go down to verse number 8. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, saying, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book." How do you think John felt? I'm going to this angel. "Hey, I was told to take that from you." "Give me that little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings." Here John was told to take this little book and to go and to consume it or to eat it. He said, in your mouth it's going to be sweet like honey, but in your belly it's going to be bitter. Then you're going to go to the nations and you're going to proclaim the truths of that book. Okay? That's what he was told in the very, very last verse there. You can go back to Galatians. The Bible tells us over in Psalms chapter number 19 that the Word of God is yea sweeter than honey to my mouth. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Psalms 119 tells us about that as well. That the Word of God is sweet like honey when we begin to chew on the Word of God. Now when you begin to read the Word of God, when you begin to take the Word of God in, yes, it begins to taste good. Yes, it is sweet. And yes, while you're sitting there hearing the Word of God and reading the Bible, you're saying, "God, I want more," and "God, I want more," and "I want more." But then when you begin to apply the truths of this book, sometimes it's going to be a little bit bitter. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit hard. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit difficult to apply the truths of the Word of God. You begin to read the Bible and God says, "I'm not supposed to live this way." And you said, "Really? God, I can't live that way? I can't do this? I can't do that?" Well, if you want to have a relationship with me, you've got to be free from those sins. You got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You've got to feed the new man in Christ. And there's certain things, as we apply the truths of the Word of God, it gets a little tough in your Christian life. Many of you have been there. Many of you are there still right now. Well, when we apply the truths of the Word of God, yes, it's going to be a little bit bitter to the belly. But in order for us to make a difference in the nation, in order for us to show the people the error of their ways, in order for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what? We've got to apply the truths of the Word of God. Because we've got to be a vessel that's believable. We are epistles written on the hearts of men. And far too often we are presenting a false gospel with how we are living our lives. A gospel that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Here the Galatians were offended by the gospel. They had come and they had heard the truths of the Word of God from Paul. And then shortly after Paul had left, they had practiced what they were taught and they had practiced what they had been preached. But somebody somewhere came along and began to teach them something contrary to the Word of God. And what happened? Well, those new believers, they began to say, well, this doesn't sound as difficult as it did under the previous preacher. This doesn't sound as hard as it did under the other preacher. Man, I'm going to take this. This sounds a little bit easier to live the Christian life this way rather than applying the hard truth. I don't like all that hard preaching. I didn't like all that hard. I didn't like all that yelling. I didn't like all that screaming. I didn't like them spitting all over the place and calling names. I didn't like them talking about my sin. This is a little bit more comfortable. This is a little bit more comfortable. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy, in the last days, they're going to have teachers having itching ears. Meaning that people are going to begin to present a gospel that's a little bit more palatable. Well, guess what? I don't want a gospel that's palatable. I want a gospel that's true. Amen. I don't want a gospel that I can process easier. I want a gospel that's going to change my life. I want a gospel that's going to change who I was, and I'm never going to go back to the way that I used to live, but rather I'm going to start living for God. I want a gospel that's real. Listen, if a gospel is real enough to save me, then it's real enough to change me. Amen. And what's happening far too often is we live in a society today where people want to come to church and they want to get their ears tickled and they want to hear these certain light truths, but they don't want to apply all the Word of God. They want a buffet of Christianity. Sometimes they want a Burger King Christianity. Have it your way. Well, we're Wendy's around here, amen. Old-fashioned, hot and juicy. Amen. That's the way we like it. Write that one down. Praise God. Here, the Galatians were offended by the gospel. They were offended by the gospel. Secondly, you're going to find in chapter number 2, you must hasten. Look at verse number 11. Not only were the Galatians offended by the gospel, but the Galatians were offended by godliness and godly living. Here, look at verse number 11. We're going to read a few verses here and I'll give you the context in just a moment. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Here, we'll put that in layman's terms. If you, being a Christian, is going to live like the world, then why are you telling the world they need to live like a Christian? Amen. Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He said, when I got saved, I began to give up those things in my life. And if I go back to those things and rebuild all of that wickedness in my life, then I'm going to go back to that sin. I thought God saved me from that. Verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And here he gives a great truth in the Christian life. And if you can learn to live this verse right here, verse number 20, it'll change your Christian life. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says that I put to death the old man and I've crucified the flesh and now I'm living in the new man. I'm feeding the spiritual man and God is living his life through me. Look at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. The word frustrate means to annul or to reject or to set aside. We can say it this way. I do not reject the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, I do not set aside the grace of God. See, listen, the salvation is not some cloak that you put on and take off when you're around certain people. Here, the Galatians were offended by those that were trying to live godly, those that were trying to live a godly life. And Paul had to tell them a story when he had to address Peter. Listen, there's going to be some brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to live one way here at church and live completely different out there in the world. And sometimes they need to be confronted on their sins. Here, Paul had to deal with that. Paul had to address it. And he told Peter, listen, Peter was a man of God. Peter was the one in Acts, or in the book of Matthew, that Jesus Christ said, unto you I'll give the kingdoms of heaven. And whatsoever you open the doors to, they'll be loosed in heaven. And whatsoever you close the doors to, then they'll be closed off from heaven. Peter was used by God to reach all the different nations of the world. Let me show you. Go to Acts. Hold your place here. Go to Acts. Acts chapter number 8. Peter was the pastor of the first church there at Jerusalem. When persecution happened in Acts chapter number 8, the disciples were spread, or different folks were spread out through different areas, except for the apostles, the 12 apostles that were there. They stayed there in Jerusalem and the rest went out. And so the church began to send out some missionaries. Here they send out Philip. And Philip goes to different places. He goes down to Samaria and he goes down to the Gaza Strip. And here in Acts chapter number 8, look at verse number 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither in verse 30 to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Here we have the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, many of you that remember geography, if you didn't fail it, amen, you may remember where Ethiopia is found at. Ethiopia is found in Africa. Okay? Africa has the descendants of Ham. Okay? If you go back to Genesis chapter number 9, or 7, 8, and 9, you'll find this. Africa is full of the descendants of Ham. Of course, Ham was one of Noah's sons. Noah had three sons, and there were three different races that were birthed through Noah's sons. You have Ham, who's the father there of the African nations through his son Canaan. Then here, they were used to reach this Ethiopian eunuch. He got saved. He took the gospel back to Africa there. So here we see the conversion of Ham. In chapter number 9, we see that Saul gets saved. Saul is from a Middle Eastern area there, and he would be a descendant or a direct line descendant of Shem. Okay, Shem was one of Moses' sons, again, or Noah's, one of Noah's, wrong ark, amen, no, it was one of Noah's sons, Shem. Then in Acts chapter number 10, we find that Cornelius gets saved, and that God used Philip, or God used Peter specifically to go to the Gentiles there and to see him get saved. Cornelius would have been a descendant of Japheth. So you have Ham, Shem, and then Japheth, all three sons of Noah. So Peter was used by God to open the gospel to everybody in the world in Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10. Now then, here in Galatians, Paul deals with this aspect that Peter had taken the gospel to the Gentiles and he had shared the gospel there with the Gentiles. And now here he's fellowshipping with the Gentiles. But as soon as a Jew, another Jew from Jerusalem, came down to meet with him, he began to ostracize himself from the Gentiles. He began to pick and choose who he wanted to hang out with. Listen, one of the things I'm so glad about our church is we don't have any cliques or any certain circles here in our church. We don't have any schisms in the body, as the Bible calls it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But we're going to be one big family of Christ. Amen. Here, Peter wanted to pick and choose who he wanted to hang out with. It was okay to hang around this crowd as long as nobody from the church saw him. And as soon as somebody from the church showed up, well, I can't hang out with them anymore. I got to come hang out with these guys. You know what that is? That's a pharisaical Christian. That's a hypocrite. By the way, the world calls churches and Christians hypocrites all the time. And I've made this statement time and time again, and I'll continue to make it. But what are we as God's children? What are we doing to change the curve on that? What are we doing to alter that opinion? And the only way we can change that opinion is stop living like hypocrites. Amen. But start being genuine in our Christianity. That we say we believe this book, then we're going to believe all of this book, not just part of this book. And we say we're going to believe the Word of God, and we're going to take, we come to church, and we're going to apply the Word of God, then we're going to do what the Word of God says, rather than just doing what we think is, what we think feels right at that time. Here, the Galatians were offended by godliness and by godly living. Peter was living a hypocritical life, and Paul had to confront him by it. But you know what? People all the time, they get offended when somebody confronts them on their lack of godly living. They get offended all the time. There'll be people lined up to criticize somebody that's going to take a stand for Christ. Brother Anthony sent me some screenshots of some arguments that preachers were having online yesterday. One preacher called out sin, said no Christian should be involved in gambling, period. There's nothing wrong with that statement at all. I believe it's in the book, okay? We're going to follow the Word of God. Well, different preachers, pastors and evangelists begin to call out that preacher. For calling out sin. Now listen, when preachers can't agree on what the Word of God calls sin, there's a problem. And we wonder why our churches are in the state that they are in. And then we wonder why our country is in the state that it is in. Because so goes the churches, so goes the country. And we've got to make sure that we preach the Word of God wholly and completely. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 11, verse number 26, that they were first called Christians at Antioch. You know, one of the things that floors me is the fact that so many people want to be labeled as a Christian today because it's popular. Popular. You go to celebrities, you go to all the different people that are quote-unquote converting to Christianity. You give it time and you'll tell who's real and who's not. You give it time and you'll tell. Because truth always reveals itself in time. But here, there are people who are, quote-unquote, converting to Christianity because it's popular today. Do you realize that the title Christian was a title of shame to begin with? It was a curse word. They were first called Christians at Antioch. That would have been like today, they were first called blankety-blanks at Antioch. People would take that offensively. Today, yes, we wear the title Christian as a badge of honor. You know the name Christian's only mentioned 3 times in your Bible? 3 times. But the Bible does say that God will set apart him that is godly unto himself. And being godly is being stressed often throughout your Bible. We need to understand that as a child of God, we bear a great title. And yes, we bear the title of Christianity. We bear the title as a son and a daughter of God. We are heirs of royalty. But understand that with that title comes a lot of responsibility. My children, my wife, they bear my last name. There are certain things that are expected of our children because of who they are. And I say to them regularly, I expect more out of you because you are my child. You do the same thing with your kids. Amen? Why? Because they carry your name. Because you don't want them to bring a disgrace or a reproach to the family name. Well, what about the name of Christ? What about the title of Christian? How often do we bring a reproach to the name of Christ by the way that we live our lives? And then we want to get offended when somebody calls us out for not living a godly life. You understand that godliness is one of the building blocks of your faith? Write this passage down. Go look it up later. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. The Bible tells us that we are to add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. These are building blocks of your faith. Let me explain. Faith is our salvation. To our salvation, we don't add anything, but it says to add virtue. That would be we begin to put standards into our lives to protect us spiritually. So salvation, then we begin to build standards in our lives. Then knowledge. As we begin to learn the Word of God, we begin to separate ourselves from the world and from those that are living worldly. So then we have standards, and then we have separation. Then the Bible says, add to knowledge temperance. As you begin to separate yourself from the world, you begin to develop self-control in your Christian life. Guess what? You begin to, as you separate yourself unto God, you begin to learn how to control your anger. You begin to learn how to control hatred and even racism that people have today. You begin to learn how to control how you view people rather than viewing them in a worldly way. You view them as God views them, as people that have souls that are going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Then we add to our temperance patience. That's different than temperance. Temperance is self-control. Patience is self-restraint, meaning you don't get the cart before the horse, meaning you learn how to wait on God. Then we add to patience godliness. Godliness is where our spirituality begins to kick in. That's where we begin to grow spiritually. Because now we're not doing things the way that we used to do them, but now we're applying the Word of God, and we've learned how to control the flesh, and we've learned how to restrain the flesh, and now we can apply this book and live this book godly, spiritual. And then we add brotherly kindness. See, those that are spiritual, they love their brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, that shows a selflessness in our lives. It's not about us and it's not about titles. It's about others. And then to brotherly kindness, we add charity, and that is having sympathy towards everybody. You see, godliness should be shown in every area of our lives. And here the Galatians were offended by this. See, godliness should be shown in your modesty in the way you live. Godliness should be shown in your manners, and that's how you talk. Godliness should be shown in your music and what you listen to. Because you put trash inside your brain, you're going to have trash come out of your mouth. Godliness should be shown in our marriage. We want to have a godly home. We want to have godly children. We want to have a godly spouse. These are shown in these areas. Here the Galatians were offended in chapter 1 by the gospel. Here in chapter number 2, they were offended by godliness and godly living. In chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Here, the Galatians were offended by the truths about the Galatians. You know, some of the hardest truths to swallow are truths about ourselves. Right? Some of us, we want to point out all these other issues that everybody needs to work on, but when we begin to hear the feedback of what we need to work on, we begin to take offense to it. I was taught a long time ago, my youth director used to always say, there's two types of criticism, constructive and destructive. And anytime the Word of God is preached, it's not preached in a destructive manner, but in a constructive manner. Meaning that there's constructive criticism so that we can be molded and shaped into what God wants us to become for Him and for His glory. You see, when somebody begins to tell you something that you need to work on in your life, it is not a time to get offended. It's a time to look inward and say, is this what the Word of God tells me I ought to be doing? And if they're telling me the Word of God and they're giving me the Word of God, then evidently, maybe there's something I ought to be doing in my Christian life. Instead of bowing up and getting offended by it and standing our ground and giving our excuses for why we live the way that we live, let's begin to hear the Word of God and begin to apply the Word of God. You see, one of the sins that churches don't talk about often enough is the sin of stubbornness. Stubbornness is that idolatry, the Bible says. Rebellion is as sin, as witchcraft. Stubbornness is as idolatry. You know what that means? That means when we are stubborn in our own ways, we are putting us before God. That's idolatry. Now listen, I understand. Most of us guys, we're rough. We can be stubborn and bullheaded. Amen. My wife's laughing at me. We can be. But you women can be stubborn too. Amen. Your husband don't listen, you slap him with a frying pan. Amen. There's some stubbornness there. But here, some of the hardest truths to accept are truths about ourselves. Why? Because we live in a society today where everyone's in tune with their feelings, and when somebody says something negative, everyone takes it as an attack. Okay? Everybody takes it as, you're just attacking me. Listen, nobody's attacking anybody. All right? We're giving the truths of the Word of God. If you are getting offended by it, then the flesh evidently doesn't like something. And just like Jesus told Paul or Saul there on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Don't get offended by it. Just get right with God. It's very simple. He said, I don't like how you're petting the cat. Well, turn the cat around. Amen. Cat rubs me the wrong way. Well, rub it the other way. Move on. What happens is we become, listen, there's a harsh word that's used here. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? We become foolish, listen, when we allow other people to deceive us. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Be careful with those that are always flattering you with their words. They're going to stab you in the back sooner or later. But the friend, they're going to say the hard truth. Why? Because we love you. We care for you. A friend loveth at all times, the Bible says. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's one thing you can depend on. A true friend's going to be there. And sometimes a true friend's going to have to shake you a little bit to get you refocused. Here, we're foolish when we allow people to deceive us. Well, how can we ensure that we're not deceived? Well, we got to know this book. We got to know this Bible. See, what happens is far too often we get self-righteous and we become a stumbling block to other people in our Christian lives. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, you don't have to go there. He put it up there on the screen. We'll read it real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 8, 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Be careful saying that because you're a child of God and you're not bound by the law that you have all this liberty to do this and to do that. And you have a conscience before God. I understand that, okay? And there's a truth there. But far too often what happens is because of the things that we do in our lives, what we do in moderation, our children will then do in excess. And how we live and the things that we let get by, our children will let get by a little further. And that's why we have a generation today in church where preachers are getting up and they're preaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, and they're even leaving the Word of God itself to preach their own gospel. Why? Because little by little they let things slip. Little by little. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, therefore we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We don't want to let go of the truths of the Word of God. And far too often we become stumbling blocks to other Christians in their Christian life when they're a little bit weaker. If you don't believe me, how many of your kids have ever used the statement, well, so-and-so did this. Yeah, we as adults do the same thing. Well, so-and-so's living that way. It must be okay for me to live that way when we know what the Word of God says. Well, they've been in church for so long and they're still doing it. Well, regardless of what they're doing, they're going to stand before God for that. And you're going to stand before God for what you are doing. We cannot live our Christian life based on what other people are doing. We've got to live it based on what the Word of God says. And far too often we justify things because so-and-so has done it. Listen, I've been there in my Christian life. When I was young, when I didn't know the Word of God, I lived my life the way that others around me were living. But as I began to learn the Word of God, I began to see the problems with that. Because then I was living to appease man rather than living to please God. We've got to make sure we stay faithful. Here, the Galatians were offended by the gospel. They were offended by godliness and godly living. Here, the Galatians were offended by the truths about the Galatians themselves. We are not going to get through this message. We're going to have to finish this part 2 next week. Here, they were offended by the truths about themselves. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to wrap this up. I gave you 3 this morning. I'll give you 3 more next Sunday morning. So if you don't come back next Sunday morning, we'll know you're offended. First Thessalonians chapter 5.
Look at verse number 16. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Here, the Galatians, we know in chapter 3, verse number 1, were offended by the truths that Paul gave them about themselves. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You see, when it comes to whether or not you're going to follow something that was given and something that was said, you always, always make sure it lines up with the Bible. You say, where do you see that? I see it in verse number 21. Prove all things. Hold fast or hold tightly or get anchored in that which is good. Well, what is good? The Word of God. The Word of God. Prove all things. How am I supposed to prove all things? By the Word of God. The Bible says in over 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, but every man may be able to give an answer of the hope that lieth in him. Okay? We're to give the answer to any man that asketh us of the reason of the hope that lies in us. I always thought verse 21 was interesting right here where it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. I always thought it was interesting that that verse came right after verse 20. You say, what, did you never know your numbers? No, I learned my numbers a long time ago. I just thought it was interesting how the phrases came right after each other. Notice what it says. Despise not prophesying. That means don't hate preaching. To despise means to hate something. Prophesying is the preaching of the Word of God. Don't hate preaching, but rather prove it. Prove all things. Don't get offended when somebody preaches something that you don't completely understand out of the Word of God. Rather, go back, listen to the message again. By the way, that's why I put it online. Listen to the message again. Take your Bible and go and research what the Word of God says and prove it according to Scripture. I'll tell you, that's done more in my Christian life for my growth than anything else. Is taking the truths that I was giving and going back and researching, and wow, I came to the same conclusion that preacher did. Why? Because we're proving all things. Brother Thoreau used to say it all the time, and I've said it countless times as well. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take and get in this book and see what God says. Don't trust me blindly. Trust the Word of God. And take everything that you hear and apply it to the Word of God. Listen, I'll tell you when it's my opinion. I'll give you the bright, shiny lights. And say, look here, this is my opinion. And I do that often. Why? Because we're very opinionated people. But here, when the Word of God says something very plainly and very clearly, we're not going to argue with that. And you can't take and say, well, that's just your opinion. No, if the Word of God says it very plainly and clearly, it's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. And what happens is we get offended. Because somebody preaches the Word of God to us. There's three more that we're going to get to. I can't get into it now because we'll be here till 2:30. And there's so much truth that I want to get to. And we're going to take our time next week for that. But don't, this morning, don't get offended by the gospel. Don't get offended when somebody expects Christians to live godly. Don't get offended by that. Because the Word of God tells us we ought to be growing to godliness. And then thirdly, don't get offended when somebody gives you a truth about yourself that's a hard pill to swallow. Don't get offended by that. The Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. And when the clay was marred in the hand of the potter, what did he do? He cleaned that out and he made it again. That means he took the vessel and he broke it down and he made it again. Don't get offended when there's something in your life that gets addressed, especially specifically by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word of God. Don't get offended by that. But rather, allow that potter to remove that issue out of your life and out of your heart and to mold you and shape you into what he wants you to become. Make sure in the midst of all of God's working in your life, make sure you stay on the potter's wheel. And don't allow a simple offense to cause you to leave the will of God. Paul addresses the church in Galatia and he said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, listen, there's going to be some hard truths that come from the Word of God. We don't give these truths because we want to make an enemy with anybody. We give you these truths because we want to make everybody a better Christian, including me. We all have areas of improvement. Amen. And I'll be the first to admit, I've got a lot of them. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She's got a list, I guarantee you. We've all a long list, praise God. We've all got things we can work on. So don't get offended when the preacher preaches on certain things. Stand with me with head bowed, with eyes closed. We're going to finish part two next week. But maybe there's some things that God's spoken to your heart about this morning. Things that you might need to work on. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at spiritually. None of this is aimed at anybody. I don't direct and sniper shoot. We're just going to graze everything. Amen. Here, the Word of God tells us very plainly and very clearly, this church at Galatia, they began to have some problems because they weren't applying the truths of the Word of God. They began to get offended because they had another gospel. They got offended when somebody told them to live godly. They got offended about the truths about themselves. Let's not be that way. Let's not get offended by those things, but rather let's let the Holy Spirit mold us and shape us. With heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning, I just got one simple question. How about you say, Brother Terry, somewhere in that message, God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? We got hands all over the room. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. I want to encourage you, if God's spoken to your heart, I want to encourage you to come to an altar and let God continue the work that He started. Let's pray. Father, we love You.